Welcome to the CCI Sunday podcast presented by CCI Plus. Download our free app at communitychurchinternational.org. We'll start in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to stop by on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and worship with us, listen to a powerful message, and enjoy the company of some friends. We are 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We hope to see you soon.
Sometimes from this place to this, and he'll set you free. When I had smoking, that was a bondage I needed deliverance from. Well, he set me free from the tar and nicotine in my body, but then I had to have my soul renewed for about 3 weeks because it had wrapped around in my soul. So God wants to deliver the people from bondage. Okay, are we ready? Well, everything today, you know, there's so much, we're in a pandemic of a unique kind because it's a warfare to the children of this generation and to us. And you know, one thing I was thinking about, I never taught the kids a whole lot about warfare. You know, we just kind of protect them. We are champions, but the kids are learning to fight. They have to. And when you're like 8 years old on up, you're gonna have to make some decisions and choices because mom and dad can't do that sometimes for you. Today is gonna be very informational. And I'm gonna let Frank start because about 2 weeks ago, we were really praying for children. And I've been getting phone calls and family and school districts and things like this, and we're seeing it everywhere. And it's mental illness that's affecting the children. And how do we, what does God want us to do? They need to come here. And Jesus is the Savior. And so right now, 2 weeks ago we were praying. And Frank had a dream. Or mind vision of traps, and he said the kids are being entrapped, and they're caught in a trap. So he's going to demonstrate just some traps, and then we're going to share some things that this isn't just in the world; it's in the church; it's everywhere. But when the church becomes the forerunner, or the we need to know and address it from the pulpit that we're aware of this. God is here, and Jesus is the champion and your Savior. So I'm going to let you. Okay. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to show you some different traps, what they do, and then we'll talk about what situation is probably meant for that trap. I mean, where did the enemy come in with that trap in that situation? Because with what's going on in the world and everywhere is this, there, from COVID and being isolated caused a lot of kids not having that freedom to, there wasn't no church, the churches were shut down, so it kind of took them into different areas that probably weren't the best for them. And I believe some kids are in traps. We've, like Deb's shared, that we've had many calls, and I'm getting calls from the campground from parents down there, and their kids are in trouble. So I just, I'm concerned. So. Now the kids already know about some of these traps. So. And there's different traps. There's little traps like gopher traps that catch gophers and stuff like that. But this one here is called the conibear bear trap. It's one of the smaller traps. Can you hear me? I hope so. And you set them where there's a path, like a tunnel in a bank where the like a muskrat or a mink or something like that comes, and they take the same path. These animals always, they get in a path, which might not be so good sometimes if you take the same path, because a trapper, which I was a trapper when I was young, I would put this where a hole would be into the bank, and the animal would come, he'd come swimming like this, and he wanted to go back in his hole, he's taking the same trail. So he comes in, he just hits that little wire, and he's caught in there, and what it does is squeezes them until the air is gone from them. So I just want you to get traps, what these traps get do to you. Well, I don't want you to get trapped. But then we'll go to a little bigger size. This is called a number two jumper. And a number two jumper, it gets bigger animals, or maybe bigger persons, let's say, you know, because there's traps, there's all kinds of different traps in the natural and spiritual. So I'm trying to show you in the natural you put this like, you know, like a path too. It's these first two are kind of like paths where animals run, and you put stuff around it to make the animal come into it, and then you cover this up, you put wax paper over it, and then you put dirt over it so you can't see it. So think about that. There's traps set you can't see sometimes. So the animal comes, and I could have this set by a hole or same thing on a trail, and that animal comes, and he can't see this. There's dirt over it, and he'll just, and he's caught. Now this trap, he's caught in it with his leg usually, and you want to get out of this trap. I've seen animals pull so hard they leave their leg in the trap because they want to get out so bad. Now you get hurt when you're in a trap sometimes. Well, you will get hurt in a trap. So think about that as Deb talks about all these different things we're going to talk about. And I'm going to have to get that out. Okay. And this is kind of the main trap right here. This one, it doesn't really hurt you, but it gets you inside. And what you do on this is called a live trap. You want to catch an animal alive, this is the trap you use. So when there's bait, you put bait up in the front inside. Before you set this, you put the bait inside. And the animal, the same thing. It's not, you could put this along a building or anywhere, and you can catch skunks, raccoons, whatever in it. But they'll they can't get this bait, so they'll kind of go around it, and finally they'll go, oh, there's a door open over here. That's important right there, that door, because things in life are like that. There's a door that could open. You better know what door you're going through. So when you go through that door, you're going to come up and try and get that bait that's up in the front. So when he comes up here, his little feet, or whatever feet they are, hit this little platform here. He's trapped. He can't get out. The door's shut. You don't want to be in this position because you can't get out. And what happens, that animal is in there, and he's not very happy. He's caught. And things get on him, and he says, I got to get out of here. I'm caught. I'm in a trap. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to explain about the traps. And Deb's going to talk about what some things in life relate to these traps. So, all right.
We always like those visual
that can get us an understanding of what God is saying, because that's a spiritual thing, and there are levels. And you know, if you get sometimes you, some of the traps will hurt you. You can be healed up and so forth. So today we're going to talk about when we were praying, the Lord. I said, Lord, the entrapments, Frank, you have that. We're going to talk about it. One of the entrapments are Xboxes, video games, cell phones, texting, bullying, and so forth. So I want to talk about the video games because it seems like I'm seeing this everywhere. I have my own children that have grandchildren, and their friends are getting parents that are coming to them. What are we going to do for the children? They're in mental illness, and they're seeing psychiatrists. And I'm seeing that this here, it's causing them, it's oppressing them. It's stopping your creativity, your inability to draw close to God or do any of that is gone. And anyway, I'm going to go because the Lord showed, I said, Lord, where is this in the Bible? He said it happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he brought me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of all the trees of the garden, you may eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. Now, he did not mean that they were going to die physically, but that they were going to be separated from God, and they're not going to be able to communicate with him like they did. He said, now the serpent, verse 3:1, was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he started questioning the woman about, did God really say that you can't eat this and so forth? Then they took of the fruit that they were told not to because it was pleasant to the eyes, it was desirable, it'll make them wise, and so forth. So their eyes were opened up, and they knew that they were naked, they were ashamed. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from him. They ran from him. They were afraid of him. So there's some patterns here. Number one, they were ashamed. Number two, they were afraid. Fear is being like a rubber band wrapped around the minds of the children, and they're not being able to think. It's affecting their emotions, their feelings, and they're in a life trap. They're now in that trap, and they're needing deliverance. Now, the Lord showed me, he said, Psalms 91 talks about the enemy that entraps you. Verse 3, if I can find that. Okay. Number 3, he says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, deliverance is a wonderful thing because I've seen God deliver from the bondages. And he'll take you sometimes from this place to this, and he'll set you free. When I had smoking, that was a bondage I needed deliverance from. Well, he set me free from the tar and nicotine in my body, but then I had to have my soul renewed for about 3 weeks because it had wrapped around in my soul. So God wants to deliver the people from bondage. Now, children, he told them not to eat the fruit in the garden. Anything that is desired but not moral, legal, or permissible to indulge in. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to you who are in Christ Jesus. The enemy uses the same tactics. You're ashamed, you're condemned, and you feel worthless, helpless, you're ugly, you're not good. This is the product of what's being taken place. Then, of course, I'm afraid. Fear and anxiety, that's a belt round about your mind. And then who's telling you you're ugly? You're no good. Have you eaten from the wrong tree? Okay, so we're talking about also, so the first one is video games. Video games are an entrapment. I'm gonna share something with you. I dug into this, and I'm gonna read this. I think it'll be helpful. It's not to condemn. This is to set people free. Individuals having gaming disorders are more likely to be aggressive, depressed, or anxious. The reason being their inability to regulate and control their emotions, such as anger or sadness or fear or other emotions. So on a social level, the adverse impact is the degraded social life of children. So spending more time playing video games can isolate your children. Children will prefer video games over spending time doing activities such as reading, sports, homework, academic performances, and this can limit their interpersonal skills in real life. And as a result, chances of adjustment disorder, anxiety, depression, stress, as well as school and your personal life. And this affects a video games on your mental level or your mental health. So this can become an addiction to video games, and we're seeing it everywhere. The adrenaline rush of competition is the culprit. See, the enemy knows how to trigger in on he knows us. So accomplishments of completing a level of or simply winning is a thrill of any game, just challenging enough to keep the player coming back for more initiates an addictive behavior. So see, the enemy knew how to do this. Due to this addiction, children that spend hours playing the game on their devices, which in turn creates decreased productivity, food, sleep, scheduled imbalances, it's caused various health issues, obesity, or the kids I know, it's oppressing their eating habits. So it's either one way or the other, because it's a comfort or it's suppressing them. So these games can be marked effective on a child showing aggressive violence or aggressive. The young boy that Frank and I, this little boy, we led him to the Lord 2 years ago on the campground. And he was autistic, and she called us, and he spent a lot of time with us. He was like a little sponge, and he had a real conversion. And the mother called, and he had gotten into Xbox, and she took the Xbox away, and she locked it in her bedroom, and she had to go to work. And the boy literally broke the door down, got into the bedroom, and called her up and threatened her, and became very, he turned violent. And so he's now in a home for boys. And so this, the enemy knew what he was doing, but the church is rising up. Yes. And being, we know it, We know the enemy, what he's done, but for some reason these games are becoming, and listen, I've got it in my own family, I've got it in my it's all over. Families are coming to families. What can we do? We've put them in psychiatrists and stuff to try and help them. This gaming addiction is so grave that it's been officially recognized by the World Health Organization as a mental health condition, putting it at a par with alcohol and drug abuse. That's how strong this is, guys. So the enemy knew. So you know what? God is our champion. Darla shared that. Jesus is your savior. And he is able to break any stronghold of the enemy on any of these things. And he might do it this way. Like we were talking about addictions. I had an addiction. He did it like this instantly. For Frank, it took a process because he wanted to change lifestyle along with what he's doing. One of the things in our generation, we were workaholics, so we were driven. You kids, you don't want to be driven, so you kind of, every generation is a little different, so you went to the other thing. You want your kids not to be like that. You wanted, so then you went probably to the other end. So discipline is a factor in this to break this off. Now, I'm going to talk about another thing here. This is another thing. This is a book I'm really going to recommend anybody to get. It's called The Courts of Heaven by Robert Henderson. And it's how to win your cases. And this is what I used when I had the blood curse. And I was told at the end I had a bloodline curse. And I went, and this works. And now he's bringing us again. And I think this is going to be really prevalent in the church today, because if you look, there's cases all over in the natural. So it's going to be the courts of heaven cases that are going to avenge your adversary. But this guy had a son. His son was older. He was married. He ran a church, and his wife left him. So he got a regular job and would go to his job, get home, and he'd go on the internet and play video games all night. His dad prayed for him for 2 years, and no change. So the Lord took him up to the revelation of the courts of heaven. He had to repent for his son because his son was in a condition he couldn't repent for himself. So he would sit and repent for his son for whatever rebellion, for whatever the Lord showed him. And after that, within a week, his son called him. He was free. But his dad also had to repent for any words that he spoke in frustration towards his son. This is what touched me with what we're dealing with. Sometimes maybe kids can't be set free. You're going to have to stand in the gap for them. The other thing I want to touch in real quick, witchcraft. Witchcraft, I never realized it. The Lord said, talk to him about Harry Potter. Okay. Harry Potter, anybody knows Harry Potter? Harry Potter's witchcraft. And I was surprised, but that was the one thing he spoke to me when I was praying. Harry Potter is witchcraft. Go to Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 13. And I looked up witchcraft, and the Bible has a lot to say about it. But again, these are things that we're ignorant. And this one is pretty pretty obvious, this one. If somebody, let's see, Deuteronomy 18. Okay, all right. 9 through 13. Okay. When you come into the land that your God, your Lord, your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Now, an abomination is something God hates so much he can't look at it. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, a sorcerer, one who conjures spells, a medium, a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. All of those who do these things, they're an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. He's going to drive them out before us. And you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. So witchcraft is also a nasty one. Pornography. You know, we had something happen to us. We have Facebook, and we turned it on a couple weeks ago, and here nudity across the top of the pages. And I could not figure it out, and I sent it to my daughter to get it off because I couldn't, you know. But he showed me, he said, this is going on with kids. It's to violate you. It's to take your innocence. And the enemy is on a rampage against the children of this generation in all counts. And so then he says, well, one of the things he says, repent. And what is repentance? 2 Corinthians 7:10. I know I'm going, okay. There's so much. But the kids need to come. There's secret things. He showed me a cell phone. Some of the kids, you're being bullied on the cell phone. The enemy is shooting arrows at you that really hurt you, that really put an arrow in you. And the Lord says, I'm going to remove that. That is not of me, and that is of your enemy. That is not who you are, saith the Lord. Who you are is who I am. You are who I am, saith the Lord. Bullying is a factor too. And you know, with kids, it's a secret thing. They're ashamed, they're hurt, and they're damaged. And when we were in teenage years, you didn't talk to anybody. But it's so incredibly important for little kids and kids of all ages. Go to somebody you can trust. Go to somebody about some hurt, something that you're bearing, because there's something that's going on in this secret thing. I had something that just happened to me. I had buried something, and I just kind of pushed it away, and I repented a lot about it. But I felt I needed to go and talk to somebody personally about the secret thing that was making me ashamed, embarrassed, and guilty. And when I did that, it not only set me free, but all the shame, the guilt, and how it made me feel left. Because what happens when you do that, you're exposing your enemy. He's got no place to hide no more. So he can't keep doing the same trick. He can't keep you in a death clutch or whatever that one was, or whatever. Where it keeps your foot there, he wants to get you free. So so let's go to Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow will produce repentance in you and leading you to salvation, not to be regretted. The sorrow of the world will produce death. So observe this thing that you sorrowed about in a godly manner. Oh, what diligence it produced, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what in vindication, and all these things You have proved yourself to be clear in the matter. See, repentance, you know, he says, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's repentance. Blood is a cleansing. And when you come forward with these things, the enemy can't have you in that place no more. Okay? And then Isaiah 54, and this is for the kids. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Great peace shall be upon your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You will be far from oppression. You will not fear from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they surely shall assemble, but not by me. Whoever assembles against you will fall for your sake, says the Lord. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn, says the Lord. And so this is, we're the church knows what's going on. Jesus is the Savior. You can come to him, and he wants to deliver the kids. If you're battling with this, if you're, you know, no condemnation, parents. You know, so many times, that's what the enemy does. And you know what? He didn't win. And the reason that you're being targeted so much is because the great outpouring of revival and fire, it's coming to this generation, the children especially. And the enemy knows it. But you know what? There's just some entrapments. We caught off guard, but we're aware, we're praying, and Jesus is going to set you free. So go see somebody or talk to somebody, okay?
Wow. I think Deb is going to stay up here with Frank, and here's what we're going to do. Every parent with all your children, we're going to come up here. Because listen, we talked about the fire of God. We talked about the refining. Now he's revealing where the enemy has come in and trying to steal a generation. And I love what Deb was saying. We're breaking off shame. I remember growing up. I remember seeing things that I wasn't supposed to see. And I didn't have anybody to tell. And I thought there was something wrong with me. And I was scared. Oh, good. And I was scared. And I was so scared that I wouldn't tell anybody. Because I thought if I told somebody, they maybe laugh at me or do something. You know, I think our kids have seen things that they shouldn't have seen. Sometimes in shows and sometimes on their phones, and they didn't, and you tried. And the enemy come in and he tried to steal some innocence of your own kids through life experiences and all that. And we talk about the Father's house. We talk about his love. It's safe here. It's not that none of us here have gone through some things that we're not too proud of. That I've fought some fights and I've done some things that I'm not too proud of. So? And this is where we believe what we say. Was that the reckless love of God come through my life. He didn't shame me. He didn't blame me. He come to show me and he says, you know what? It's okay, Tom. Some things got in there. I'm not here to shame you or blame you, but you need to be set free because you're trapped. That shame gets us trapped. That shame keeps us in the same place. And moms and dads, it's time. And I need to repent on behalf of my family. I didn't realize. The time that we spent being busy, the enemy was busy with your kids. Come on. The time you're busy is, it don't take more than 5-10 minutes, you guys. And I'm a parent and I know better. And I do it anyway. But see what God's doing, he's not revealing to shame me. He's revealing to say, Tom, take hold of what belongs to you and lead your kids and lead your family and stand up. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that this was impacting so much. But then you start, and it's coming right to your front door. Start seeing stuff in the papers. You start seeing stuff in the papers, and you realize in the spirit that we need to rise up. And it's like, because I love my children so much, I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've seen on the internet. But sometimes they get trapped in identity and things. And we're here to help break those things off. So, Jen, if you got something you want to share, why don't you come forth and share it? And I'm going to have every, as soon as you're done with that, I want to have every family with their kids come up.
You know, this is so educational, but the thing about what you see, what I just want to share a little bit, is how important it is what we're seeing, what our kids are seeing, and what they're watching. Because I'm just going to share with you, when I was a teenager, I watched some things I shouldn't watch. I watched some scary Chucky movies, some things like these things that are not healthy for kids to watch. But that opened a door in my life for the enemy to come in, and he tormented me. I had bad dreams. I woke up at night. I would be screaming and afraid, but it opened a door. And I think that's what the big thing for me is, that what we allow, or maybe if we don't even know what they're watching, but it opens a door, and somewhere in there, the enemy had come in. And it's so important for us to watch and be careful of what, even as adults, but what we are allowing and letting our kids watch, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be on media, whatever it's on, TikTok, all these things, because it opens a door. And we have allowed something in. And I think when Deb was talking, the biggest thing with that is to repent of that. We need to repent on behalf of what we've allowed in our home, what we've allowed in our lives, what we've allowed in our kids, because it affects them. It brings fear, it brings shame, it brings blame, it brings all these things. And for me, it opened a door for the enemy to come in, and it brought fear in my life. And it's not until I was older that I realized what opened the door that I opened. Because even into the demonic, I began to see demonic things. I began to see demons. Things began in my life where I saw these things. But I had to come to a place and repent and allow God to come in and do that. But I opened a door there. So kids, it's very important what you're watching. Adults, what you're watching. Because it opens the door. And I think that's the thing that we need to be aware of. That what are we opening the door to? What are we allowing into our home?
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more, visit our website, communitychurchinternational.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the church 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you wish to support this ministry financially, you may give online on our website or on our free CCI Plus app. Thanks again for spending time with us today. Have a great day.